So as David said, he asked me to speak about being the light, the identity of being the light. And, you know, he said, I do this, but what we're really going to talk about is Christ's words in Matthew 5:14, where Christ said, you are the light of the world. So we're going to talk about how each one of us is the light of the world. And, you know, that's not really up for debate, so we're gonna go right past that. And what we're gonna spend most of our time talking about is the practical ways of how do you get to be the light of the world? How do you bring God's light into the world around you and everything? So that's really how we're gonna spend our time. So Jesus said, "You are the light of the world." And as I talk about that, you guys probably know the type of person that we're talking about, right? You know, you probably have seen this in your own life, a person who was God's light. You know, usually they kind of stand out from the rest of the crowd. There's something about their character, something about the nature of them, the way they interact, that they just, they reflect God. They represent God. That being around them and who they are, you're just naturally drawn towards God. And kind of like our mission statement, you know, those lights of the world are moving people towards God. As I was preparing for this morning, I spent some time and I was reflecting on who in my life has been a light. And I was, you know, really hopeful to have these great examples I could share with you this morning of, you know, these brilliant flashes of light that have moved my journey towards God even further. And I was a little disappointed, maybe even a little depressed, frustrated, because as I spent time, nobody came to mind. There wasn't anybody who immediately jumped out at me as representing, you know, God's light. And it dawned on me, I was looking for these mountaintop moments, these times where I was just blinded by an individual. And I don't know if that's your story, if perhaps your journey with God is, you know, represented it by a brilliant light. But for myself, that's not my journey. See, my journey isn't these mountaintop moments, but my journey is this endless parade of waypoints of light. Individuals who have come into my life and moved me closer to God. Individuals who have come into my life who, when I've drifted away from God, have helped shine light and help me at least move somewhat closer back on the path. As a matter of fact, many of you have been lights to me. Many of you currently are. I'm sure many of you in this very room will be a light unto me in my future. And so I thank you for that. I thank you for the role. I thank you for, you know, listening to God and responding to God and stepping forward with it. And I'm willing to bet every single person in here this morning, you're here at this place, at this time, because somewhere, you know, time in your journey, somebody was a point of God's light and brought you here to this moment. Whatever your journey looks like, I think I could win that bet with each and every one of you, right? So Christ said, you are the light of the world. You know, I don't know what you think about this world, but when I look at this world, I see it as a dark place. It's a broken world. It's a messed up world. We have a lot of sin in this world. We have a lot of brokenness, just a lot of evil. Really, when it comes down to it. And if you don't believe me, all you have to do is just turn on the news for a few minutes, and you'll be overwhelmed at the stories that are being played out, not once in a while, but each and every night. Oftentimes, while I'm watching the news, the lyrics of a Matthew West song come to mind. And I don't know if you guys are familiar with Matthew West or this song, but the lyrics go something like, "And I shook my fist at heaven, and I said, God, why don't you do something?" And he said, "I did. I sent you." See, I don't want to brag. You know, I'm trying to be humble up here, but I'm a light. I shine in this world. Sometimes not so brightly. Sometimes you can barely see the light. Sometimes, though, I'm a beacon of light. I shine bright into this world. I bring God's light into it and others. And I'm not the only one who can brag this morning. This room is full of other beacons of light. You're surrounded with many people who are reflecting God's light in your lives and around us all the time. As David said last week, we're designed to reflect, we're designed as God's plan, right? We're not his B plan, we're God's A plan. God intends us to bring his light into this world. That's a little hefty, right? So Christ said, if my clicker was working, he said, you are the light of the world. So you're his A plan. You're intended to bring his light into this world, into that darkness. And if you're feeling a little overwhelmed by being that light, by having to carry the burden of bringing his light into the darkness, don't be. Because God didn't say you're the source of his light. Just like the moon is nothing but a dead, cold, dark, cold rock orbiting around the earth. See? Nothing up there, right? But once the light of the sun strikes that rock, that's what we see as the moon. That's what we see as the warmth. That's what we see as the glow. So God didn't say you're the source of the light. God said you're intended to reflect his light. So I'm going to talk this morning about, not about whether you are reflecting God's light, whether you're called to be his light, because that's what Jesus said. And, you know, despite my stubbornness, I think I've learned at this point not to argue with God. You know, we're just going to assume that as a fact. I'm a light, so is everybody in here who calls on Jesus as their Lord and Savior. You're a light. So what we're going to focus on is, how do you be the light? How do you reflect that? And the first thing is, if you want to reflect light, you got to draw close to the light. So if we're the mirror, if we're reflecting God's light, and we're way up here, we don't reflect the light very well. The closer we get to that source, the better we're going to reflect that light, and we're going to shine it around and have an impact, right? So the closer we draw to God, the better it's going to be. Now, not only are you going to do a better job of reflecting God's light the closer you get, but there's some benefits to coming along with drawing close to God, right? The closer you get to the light, there's going to be safety. You know, we put up security lights around our homes and our businesses and things like that because in light, there's safety, there's security. If you happen to be a camper, you know the closer you get to the campfire, the safer you are, right? So we huddle around light. Just like the closer you get to the campfire, the warmer you are. Light brings warmth. Drawing close to God brings the warmth of God's love. And so the closer we draw to God, we're going to experience his love. And if you happen to be over 40, I'm willing to bet you've learned that if you want to see anything clearly, you bring it into the light, right? With light becomes clarity and vision. And so, you know, as we draw close to the source, close to God, we're going to have safety, we're going to have warmth, and we're going to have better vision. There's things that come between us and God, our sin. So when you sin, that puts a barrier between us and God, and we don't reflect the light as well. And, you know, these two things, these are really lifelong struggles that you're going to work with. You're going to be at different spots in your life, closer to God, and maybe drift away, and then maybe somebody will be a waypoint of light and help you move closer to God again. You know, you're going to deal with sin off and on, and, you know, these are going to be lifelong struggles that you deal with. These two topics are, like, entirely different sermons in and of themselves, maybe entirely different sermon or series of sermons, and David only gave me this one day to talk, so I can't go into all of that. So, you know, all I will say is, you know, as you draw closer to God, he's going to help you with that sin, and you don't have to be sin-free in order to reflect light. That sin's going to obscure it, but as you bring it into the light, God's going to help you deal with that and work on that. What I did want to focus on is two things that I think we can readily work on and respond a little bit quicker with. So this passage is a little bit further on in the edition of Matthew 5:14. So through 16, you are the light of the world, a city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. why would we light a light and then put it under a bowl? That's just stupid, right? It's pointless. It's a waste. So why would we hide the light that God's pouring into our lives? Why? So lyrics have been talking to me this week as I prepared. So I thought of some lyrics from an old Christian band. Maybe you guys are familiar with this. DC Talk, right? Allie? Uh-huh. And DC Talk has a song they're pretty famous for. What will people think when they hear that I'm a Jesus freak? What will people do when they find out that it's true? Jesus freak. Does that sound like a good term? See, whether you realize it or not, we Christians, we kind of have a bad rap. We have a bad reputation. When many people hear Christians, you know what they think? They think we're judgmental. They think we're hypocrites. They don't think we're authentic, we're genuine. And so oftentimes, depending on what circle you're in, depending on who you're interacting with, you may hide your light. You may not want them to know that you're a Jesus freak because you don't want to be associated with that. And so we hide it, and we don't let people see our light. Now, I don't know if it may be because you're embarrassed or you're ashamed, and so you hide your light. And Christ spoke to this specifically. He said, "For whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous, sinful generation, the Son of Man will also be ashamed of him when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." God said, "Don't hide your light." He specifically said, "Let it shine." He said, "Don't be ashamed." Sometimes when we let our light shine, when we let people know that we're Christians, they treat us differently. They respond differently, right? All you have to do is talk to a pastor, and they'll tell you. They kind of keep that on the down low that they're pastors at times, right? Sometimes they not only treat you differently, they behave differently. You know, once they find out you're a Christian, maybe they change the language they use. They don't use those colorful four-letter words, you know. Maybe when they find out that you're a Christian, they're less likely to flirt with somebody who's not their spouse. Maybe they're less likely to cheat on a test during school. And so they change their behavior because they know you're a Christian. You have a different standard, right? And so we may hide our light because that's awkward. You know what? That's the point. Us being a light into this dark world is to change the world around us. And for us being that light, we're able to do that. So if they want to use different language around you, they want to be a little bit different, good. That's the point. Maybe you're thinking, that's easy enough for you to say, Matt. You're God's favorite, right? If you only knew my heart, you would know I'm not good enough to be a reflection of God. I'm not good enough to be his light. I don't think that way or whatever it may be. And you know what? You're right. You're not good enough. God didn't say you had to be the source of light. He didn't say you had to be perfect. He didn't say you had to be sin-free. He said you just had to reflect his light. You know, I mean, there's a reason why some of us do not have those little Christian symbols on the back of our cars. Because the way we drive might not bring people to God. I'm just saying. Just learn that lesson the hard way. Yeah. Maybe you're thinking, I don't want to misrepresent God. You know, maybe I'm still struggling with this Christianity and right and wrong and what this means, and I don't want to misrepresent it. So let me tell you, as a youth leader over 20 years, I get this one. This one weighs heavily on me. I've struggled with it. I've fought with it for many a years. Because Jesus, again, spoke specifically to this. He said, if anyone causes one of these little ones to stumble, it would be better for them to have a large millstone tied around their neck and be drowned in the depths of the sea. I love working with the youth. It scares the heck out of me that my behavior, something I could do or say, could mislead anybody. And I feel the weight of that. Again, God's not calling me to be perfect. He's just calling me to participate. And I got to trust that God is more powerful than me. And he's gonna do the things that need to be done through me. Maybe you're just thinking you're not qualified. You know, you didn't go to seminary school. You don't know your Bible chapter and verse. You know, maybe you're trying to figure this stuff out, and you're like, I'm just not qualified to represent God's light in this world. You know, I love to pray. Love to pray. Love it. You know, any given Sunday, you'll see me up front, and if you guys been here in the church, you know we, as a church, love to pray, and we bring people up later on in the service. If you're new to this church, little you know, hint or a little you know, advance notice, we're going to invite you, if you want, to come up and get prayer later on. And on any given Sunday, you'll see me up here as part of that prayer team. But there was a time where I didn't love to pray. There was a time I hated praying. I avoided praying for people like the plague. It wasn't because I didn't believe God moved through prayer. It wasn't because I didn't have the faith that God answered prayer and worked and responded through prayer. It was because I didn't feel qualified. I thought I was inadequate. Truth be told, I thought that if you came up and you were unfortunate enough to draw me as the person who prayed for you, I was doing you a disservice. You would be better off going to somebody else who is a better prayer than I was versus me praying for you. And I struggled with this for months, avoided praying. And then I did something radical. I did something crazy. You know what I did? I got prayer myself. And I was just talking to the person who prayed for me. He does not remember it whatsoever. But Ben McCall, he prayed for me. And it wasn't a nice prayer. Nothing to do with Ben. He prayed with love and everything else. But it was one of those prayers that God hits you over the head with a baseball bat. You know, just pow. And I got to admit, I typically need that from God. That's the only way he gets through to me. And a prayer, lovingly, Ben, went something like this. How flippin' arrogant are you to think that if God is pulling somebody up to speak to them, you can mess that up. God's going to speak to them whether you get it right or not. If God's moving, God's moving. So you don't have to be qualified. You just have to respond. Here's the deal. Here's your choice. Do you want, God's going to work with you or without you. Your choice is, do you want to participate in what God is doing? Do you want to be a part of it? Or do you want God to work with somebody else? And I tell you, it is super cool to be a part of God's plan, to be a part of what God is doing. I'd much rather be on the field with God than sitting on the bench watching God move without me. So that's your choice. You can choose. You all these excuses, I'm tossing them out. I don't think they apply to anybody in this room. So here's my simple solution to avoid all those excuses. Whenever you meet somebody, first opportunity you get, tell them you're a Christian. And I'm not talking about like introducing yourself. Hi, I'm Matt. I'm a Christian. That's weird, you know. I'm not talking about wearing a sign around your neck that says I'm a Christian, carrying a placard or anything like that. Be subtle about it. You know, maybe you slip it in that you heard a good sermon at church on Sunday. You know, maybe you drive differently than I do, and you could put that Christian symbol on your car. And when you let people cut in front of you, they go, oh, that's so nice, you know. Maybe you buy somebody's, you know, lunch through the drive-in. Maybe you, listen to somebody at work. Maybe you sing as part of the worship team. Maybe you cut bagels. Maybe you just simply pray for people. Maybe you pray for them even when they don't even know you're praying for them. See, being the light looks all kinds of different ways. And it's going to look different for each one of you. So if you just put it out there, first opportunity you do, it's going to do a couple of benefits to you. The first thing it does, if you put it out there that you're a Christian, you can't take it back. It's out there. They already know you're a Christian, right? You can't decide a couple of months later, like, I'm not going to tell this person I'm a Christian, you know, because they're going to behave differently or they're going to expect me to be different or whatever. Nope, too late. It's out there. So before I really get to know you, I'm slipping it out there in some way or another. This is who I am, all right? Second benefit it does is once it's out there that you're a Christian, you now have to behave differently. What you basically do is you turn everybody around you into an accountability group. You have to live your life as if people are watching you. And they are. Even if you're by yourself, God, my Father in heaven, is still watching. And it matters far more to me what his opinion of me is than, hate to say it, anybody in this room. So whether you're there, whether people at work are there, people wherever, God's watching. And I'm going to, you know, having you present helps me keep mindful that God is present. So you are the light of the world. God called you to do that. If you consider yourself a Christian, Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, you're a light. Drawing closer to God, not hiding your light under the, you know, working with your sin, not hiding your light, those are all ways that are going to help and benefit you. And, you know, at the end of the day, if we're not hiding our light, or if we hide our light, we're going to hear God say, but whoever denies me before men, I will also deny him before my Father who's in heaven. I don't want to hear those words when I get to heaven. I've already shared the words I want to hear. When I get to heaven, I'm fully expecting God to say, well done, good and faithful servant. I don't want to hear these words. Those are the words I'm working towards. So, last thing I'm going to talk about is aligning with God. Again, if I got my example here of the light, and we as the mirror, and God's shining light up here, and I'm over here, that's not very effective, is it? I need to figure out where God's shining that light so I can come in alignment and reflect God's light into the darkness of the world. All right? So how do we do that? And again, if you're feeling overwhelmed by that, keep in mind, even Jesus Christ was not the source of light while he was here in human form on this earth. John says, Jesus gave them this answer, very truly I tell you, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can only do what he sees his Father doing, because whatever the Father does, the Son also does. You don't have to be the source. You just have to reflect his light. That's all Jesus did. He did it perfectly. We're not going to have that type of a track record, but we can do our best to come as close as possible. And, you know, let me tell you, it's in your DNA. This mirror is designed to reflect light. That's what it does. That's what it's designed. You're designed, your DNA is designed to reflect God's light. You know, in verse 13 in this passage, Jesus talks about, you are the salt of the earth. Can anybody give me a definition of salt? Without using the word salt? Salt is salty, right? By its nature, by its chemical makeup, salt is salt. By your DNA, by the way God designed and built you to be, you reflect God's light. It's who you are. It's who you are. You're designed to reflect God's light purely by your DNA. Years ago, one of my daughters grew up on me. She got old enough to attend youth group. Yeah, I know, crazy. And at that time, I was leading youth group. And my daughter, God love her, came to me and said, Dad, you know that youth ministry is a time for me to explore my own faith. You know, so far, you and Mom did a great job teaching me about God and your relationship, but it's time for me to form my own relationship. And you're stunting me by being there. You're crimping my style, Dad. You got to go. And instead of being hurt, instead of being angry, God allowed me to see the wisdom and her maturity. So I stepped down from youth. I had no formal role. The Larsons. Thank you, Larsons. The Campos, thank you, Campos. They filled in. They did an amazing job. They were awesome as youth leaders. Great. But during that time, during the years that they were youth leaders, I couldn't help but think about the youth. I couldn't help on Sundays to seek them out. Hey, what's going on with you guys? What's going on this week? Was it a good week? I couldn't help but to find out what was going on in their lives and to pray for them. You know, text them during the week, check in with them, whatever. Because it's in my DNA. I'm a youth leader. That's who I am. That's how God designed me. And I can't, I can fight it, but it's going against my nature, or I can embrace it. Fortunately, my daughters got older and they started letting me hang out and such, and then they graduated and now I'm back in youth. So he designed us to reflect his light. And if that wasn't enough, if it's not just part of your DNA to reflect God's light, he said, you know what, I'm going to make it even easier on you. I'm going to send you my Holy Spirit to help you align, to sense what's going on, and come into alignment with me. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. He's making it really pretty easy. He designed you that way. And if you're open, if you just pause and ask God, hey, God, what are we doing in this situation? God will direct you. God will guide you. It will be natural. It'll be easy. Years ago, I had a non-Christian friend. And we used to have a bunch of conversations. And, you know, over the years, conversation after conversation. And each time we had a conversation, with each conversation, they moved a little bit closer towards God. And we'd have another conversation about God, and they move a little closer to God. And it was going pretty well. At that same time, I had a Christian friend. And this Christian friend, they had this uncanny, unnatural ability to hear from the Holy Spirit that sense of vulnerability, you know, just that little crack, that little chink in the armor, and then they would just like rock it in there, just push in and pry their hearts wide open, and the fruit. This person was just having person after person come to Christ. And so me and my non-Christian friend were having a conversation, and I get this little glimpse of vulnerability, and I'm like, oh, it's on now. I'm going for it, right? I'm pushing in. I'm going to do what this other person I've seen over and over and over do successfully, and I'm going for it. And it failed miserably. Why? Because that wasn't me. God designed each one of us as our DNA to be unique. I mean, some of you have hair. I don't. We're all unique. So for that Christian friend of mine, that's the way God designed her. That was effective. For me, that's not the way God designed me. And for me to try to be somebody else, to try to reflect God's way in some other way, that wasn't successful. A little while ago, I was having a conversation with my boss. And during the conversation, I don't know how it came up, but during the conversation, somehow it came out that people at work have a tendency to cry in front of me. Like most people who have worked with me have cried in front of me at some point in time. And he was appalled by it. You know, he said he's been in business for 30 or 40 years. He's run companies. He's done this. He's done that. And he's like, you're doing something. You know, and he didn't actually say we did something wrong. We had a good conversation. We went back and forth. We debated, is it okay for people to cry or should they not cry? And this weighed on me. So I went home that night and I thought about it. I couldn't sleep that night thinking about it, you know, because from my perspective, it was I doing a disservice? If you work with me and somehow you cry in front of me, am I doing you a disservice? As an executive officer of the company, am I doing the company a disservice? I mean, if I got employees breaking down and weeping in front of me, am I putting the company at liability? Is this wrong? And so I struggled with it. I barely slept at all. And I went into work that next morning. I kid you not, literally within 5 minutes, I had an employee openly weeping in front of me. I'm like, God, you got such a sick sense of humor, you know? And it led to prayer, and it was awesome. And further irony, that next day, I'm not even at work. I'm scheduled someplace else, given a series of talks, and, you know, lunch break comes around, and there's eight of us sitting around a lunch table, seven strangers never met before, and we're kind of going around introducing each other, you know, who are you, a little bit about your background and everything, and about the third person in, she shares something, and I get this little question pops up in the back of my head. should ask that question. And then I also get, but if you do, she's going to cry. And I hear my boss's words, and I hear this question, and I hear my boss's words, and this question. And I'm going back and forth, so as they continue introducing themselves, I have no idea who the other four people were, because I'm wrestling with this question in my head. Do I ask the question, or do I just, you know, I could just let it slip, let it slide. Nobody would ever know I was thinking of that question, right? And if you know me, I asked the question, and she cried. And we had a great conversation about God. It was a great lunch. See, in that moment, I had a choice. Do I reflect God's light? Do I align? I could tell God was saying, ask the question. It was part of who I was and how he designed me. And at that point in time, it was actually harder for me just to keep my mouth shut than to ask the question. And it led to a great conversation, a great lunch. So I'm going to be wrapping up here. If praise team is in, they can start moving up a little bit. So I want to leave you with an image. I want you guys just put on your imagination caps. Just think for a couple of minutes. We got a dark, messed up, black world. Could you imagine for a moment, if every man, woman, and child who considered Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, if they stop hiding their light, if they come into alignment with the Holy Spirit and they drew close to God, could you imagine what that would look like? Could you imagine how we'd bring brightness into this dark world? How things would change? You know, how the world would brighten up around us and no longer be a dark, dismal place. The hope we could bring into this world. So here's the deal. You are the light of this world. Be the light. So as we talk about being the light, there's a couple of things there. First, in summary, as a Christian, you are the light of the world. Some common barriers to reflecting God's light. Your distance from God. Draw close to God. Having sin in your life. Bring it into the light. Let God help you deal with the sin. Choose not to hide your light. And choose to listen and follow God. So as you know, each week we like to give you some homework. So here's the homework for the week. Weekly challenges: be the light. Draw closer to God. Inform everyone that you are a Christian. Not in a creepy, awkward way, but let it slide, subtle. Work on that. And remain open to how the Holy Spirit is aligning you.